Next item on the agenda is Bubba's Marina Notice to Comply 11-01. I anticipate that we will be breaking for lunch after this case. We will then take up the Gibson-Bowden case prior to public comment and then proceed with fisheries. I can find. Justin, proceed, please.
Good morning, Commissioner Bowman, members of the Commission. We have the case of Bubba's Marina related to staff's notice to comply 2011-01. In your consideration of the request by Demetrius Hyonis to allow the placement of tables and chairs, including a bar and on-premises consumption of food and beverages, on the previously authorized deck constructed over state-owned submerged land. BMRC permit 01-1979 and the accompanying declaration of restrictive covenant authorized the construction of the deck only as a commercial wharf to accommodate an open pile building for a proposed wholesale and retail fish market and seafood unloading dock, as was proffered by Mr. Hyonis in 2004. So essentially, this is Mr. Hyonis and his attorney seeking commission concurrence that their recent activities at the subject facility are in compliance with the existing permit. It's important to note that this is not a new JPA or a joint permit application or an after-the-fact request, but more of a consistency determination in response to our recent notice to comply. A vicinity map, this is a topo map, and we are in Virginia Beach, right off of Shore Drive, just outside of the Lynn Haven Inlet at 3323 Shore Drive in Virginia Beach. An overhead aerial. The facility is denoted by the red star. It's overall, it's part of what we call Bubba's Marina, or what has historically been called Bubba's Marina. There's Bubba's Restaurant, the ramp, the fuel dock, and now the shellfish market. Another aerial shot. This is the subject facility right here. And to try and identify a few of these adjacent buildings, this is the Lesnar Inn, this is Bubba Seafood Restaurant, the boat ramp, subject facility, fuel dock, Lynn Haven Fish and Seafood Company, and this is Dockside Marina and restaurant facility. And Mr. Hyonis, it's our understanding, owns basically from the Lynn Haven Fish and Seafood Company all the way back to the Lesnar Inn. Another aerial showing a different view of the subject facility. In 2004, the Commission authorized the permit 01-1979 for the construction of the shellfish company and market, the portion of which was below the bulkhead. The existing bulkhead at the time, essentially out over state-owned submerged lands, was to be an open-pile building for a wholesale fish market and commercial seafood unloading. During the joint permit application review and the Commission hearing, as questions were raised regarding the water dependency of the proposal, the applicant and his agent proffered to restrict the use of the facility as a wholesale market and restrict an offloading deck only. Like, this didn't make the packet. This is the letter of finding that accompanied that was created directly after the decision in February of 2004. From Bob Grab to Mr. Hyonis and his agent. And that should go along with number four in your packet, which is the actual permit from 2004. The Commission ultimately issued the permit in December of the same year after a restrictive covenant was prepared and then recorded with the Circuit Court of Virginia Beach. And that is item number six in your packet. And that is an important piece of evidence with this project. I'd like to specifically read a couple of the statements from that Declaration of Restrictive Covenant. The covenant affirms that said improvements extended over, under, upon, through, or above state-owned bottomlands will be used strictly and solely for the purpose of commercial fish and seafood offloading and processing. Further states that grantors, Mr. and Mrs. Hyonis, acknowledge that any nonconforming use without obtaining specific approval, therefore from the VMRC, is subject to the civil and criminal enforcement provisions of Chapter 12 of the Code of Virginia. After that covenant was received, the final permit was issued by the Commission in December of 2004. To further familiarize the Commission, the activities and the information presented in 04. I'm going to briefly go through staff's presentation of that time. Keep in mind it was a 2001 application. It just wasn't heard until 2004. But basically, they were requesting authorization to construct the facility at their property along Bubba's Marina facility in Virginia Beach. And to go over some of this, keep in mind this is an aerial. I think this aerial is probably 2002, but the restaurant is still there. The boat ramp was actually a two-accessway ramp, the tending pier in the middle. The tending pier still remains. This was the Upland Bait and Tackle Shop. This is the fuel dock. It looks like there was a barge at the time right then. On site, the bait and tackle shop. That was entirely on the Upland. This was the proposed footprint of the market and the wharf in this orange color here. The tending pier was existing. So essentially about half of the facility was going to be out over the water, channelward of the bulkhead. It's a cross-sectional drawing of the facility. And we see the portion of the market and the offloading dock that was out over the water, channelward of low water and the bulkhead, permitted by the commission. One more overview with some colored decking and the footprint of the shop. The bulkhead ran along this footprint here, or this alignment. This was actually the ramp that's now decked over, and this is the existing ramp now. The tending pier still exists. Back from the 04 presentation, these were ground shots. This is the bulkhead I've referenced. The red dashed line was to indicate the approximate limits of the proposed construction. Looking west, back towards the restaurant, the red line was to denote the overall footprint, the yellow line, the actual market portion. And one last slide from 2004, just identifying the same facilities, the approximate footprint in orange. Again, about half of it was out over the water, half of it was up on the upland, just landward of the bulkhead. In December of 2010, we received a joint permit application for a bulkhead and fill under the restaurant, which is directly next door, Bubba's Seafood Restaurant. Visiting the site in January of 2011, staff immediately noticed the glass enclosures, which are directly next door. Staff then met with the store manager and Mr. and Ms. Hyonis on three different occasions and collected photographs. All the meetings were amicable meetings. We reviewed the past permit and the declaration of restrictive covenant, and I provided copies of each. We discussed what appeared to be an additional use of the facility. And at that time, Mr. and Mrs. Hyonis felt that everything was okay, and in their opinion, it was just an additional seasonal use of the existing facility. This is actually a ground shot of the front of the new facility, or the facility. This particular area, and I'll go through more ground shots, has been enclosed with glass garage door type structures. During these meetings, staff issued correspondence, which is item number 9 in the packet, requesting specific details of the recent installation of the enclosures and the apparent use of the facility. Mrs. Hyonis responded, providing a copy of a Virginia Beach building permit for the enclosures only and a copy of the ABC license for the facility. She explained that the enclosures made the facility more secure and provided a safer waiting area for the restaurant patrons, and further verified that offloading would still occur as the glass doors could be raised and lowered easily. Regarding the use of the facility, they felt they were creating, and this is to quote from their correspondence, a more detailing seafood market to help increase their revenues. Let me back up. This is the entrance of what appears to be the back deck bar and cafe. This is, you enter on from the parking lot. It is a separate entrance from the market, and it wraps around towards the most channelward portion of the wharf. Staff investigated how the city building permit was issued and learned that no joint permit application was ever submitted or reviewed by the city. Specifically, the Waterfront Operations Department had never seen an application. In working with Virginia Beach, this is very unusual for any proposal along the shoreline in Virginia Beach to not go before the Waterfront Operations Division with the city's planning department. Staff specifically requested any formal correspondence for such bar and restaurant approval activities from the city attorney's office, the planning department, and specifically from the Waterfront Operations Department Division. To date, we've received nothing. It's almost as if no one from the city is willing to acknowledge that the back deck bar and cafe exist. Although I had one planning department representative verbally indicate that there is no approval to operate this facility as a restaurant, but I still could get nothing in writing.
Why not?
I wish I knew. Continuing with the site tour, this is, as you can see, this is the parking lot. This is the front entrance. You come around the side. Start to wrap around the corner out over the more channelwood portion of the facility. You can see the fuel dock in the distance. Looking at some of the seating area, this is Bubba's Restaurant. It's actually directly across from the ramp, so they're very close together. Looking at the bar and seating area from the western end and one side from the eastern end. Menus on the walls with food items listed. The drink menu with what appears to be a listing of your stronger beverages. The presence of the menus indicated to staff that food and beverage service was occurring. However, in checking with Virginia Beach Health Department, they've approved no such facility. On January 25th, the Virginia Beach Health Department issued a notice of alleged violation per the state's health and food regulations. And as of last week, in communication with the health department, they advised they've not received any formal food establishment plans as they requested, nor are they aware of a certificate of occupancy issued by the City of Virginia Beach for this establishment to act as a restaurant.
Justin, I'll make one next slide for me, please. Thank you.
Back to the site photos. This is a picture attempting to show the garage door type enclosures. It didn't turn out so great, but basically you see that the doors can be raised and lowered. This is the far eastern side, adjoining the fuel dock. It does appear to be some seating area on this end outside the enclosures. And looking back to the west, we're actually standing on the Lynn Haven fish and seafood operation looking towards the facility. One shot from the fuel dock. This is actually from Bubba's Restaurant's deck, showing the railing on the most channelward end. This is at the boat ramp, and wanted to point out that this is the approximate location of the bulkhead, so everything channelward of the bulkhead is jurisdictional. Looking back from the tending pier, a view from the parking lot. Staff issued a sworn complaint on March 2nd, 2011, and a notice to comply followed on March 3rd. We did give Mr. and Mrs. Hyonis the option to apply for after the fact for the enclosures, but we did not give them the option to change the use or add as an additional use the apparent restaurant use of the facility. We did not feel that such an after the fact option would be consistent with the existing permit and the existing restrictive covenant, that it would further be inappropriate to consider given no local or health department approval. In the notice to comply, we did ask that all restaurant-type services cease and all associated materials be removed. In response to the notice to comply, Mr. Paul Schmidt, Mr. Hyonis' attorney, indicated that they would agree to submit an after-the-fact application for the enclosures, but he felt that such beverage and food consumptions, as he deemed them, complied with the commission permit, and further stated that such activities are customarily associated with the ordinary course of business with local seafood markets. And that's a quote from his correspondence. He stressed the city was aware, but offered no formal city correspondence. He ultimately requested that these issues be placed on the March agenda to seek commission concurrence that activities are consistent with the permit. And I'm just going to read verbatim the summary as things can get a little complicated with the history here.
Excuse me.
In 2004, staff recommended denial of the proposed seafood market and adjoining decking, as we did not consider the proposed market portion of the facility to be water dependent. The commission, however, ultimately authorized the construction of an open pile commercial structure to accommodate a wholesale retail fish market and a commercial seafood offloading dock. Given the recent construction of the enclosures and the obvious use of the enclosed wharf portion out over state-owned submerged land, staff fails to see how such past or ongoing activities on the wharf are water dependent or even comply with the existing permit. Although the owners and their attorney do not refer to this facility as a bar and restaurant, staff feels that is essentially what it has become. On February 23, 2004, Mr. Hyonis' agent, Tom Langley, submitted a letter to commission staff to further clarify the intentions of the facility. That letter is item number 7 in your packet. That was included in the commission book items at the time and openly discussed by Mr. Langley and then Commissioner Pruitt during the February 24, 2004 hearing. Mr. Langley emphasized that both he and Mr. Hyonis had signed the letter and further proffered to restrict all uses of the wharf portion of the facility to commercial seafood offloading only. According to that correspondence and the audio portion of that hearing, the watermen in this particular area of Virginia Beach desperately needed a commercial facility to offload their catch. This offloading facility was to benefit other working watermen in this traditionally commercial area of the Virginia Beach waterfront, not just Mr. Hyonis and his establishment. While staff is not ultimately questioning the seafood offloading ever occurs at the facility, it is difficult to envision typical offloading activities occurring on the decking, with or without the recent enclosures. And given the addition of chairs, tables, and a bar that support the restaurant-type activities, offloading and the storage of materials such as nets, crates, pots, coolers, pallets, etc., do not appear consistent with the current condition and setup of the facility. Such commercial offloading was specifically cited as justification for approval during the 2004 hearing. The commission permit specifically authorized a seafood wholesale and retail facility with adjoining decking for seafood offloading only. In staff's view, the approval of the commercial offloading facility at this location was an attempt to help preserve a working waterfront area, especially since such areas are unfortunately being lost to other shoreline development activities throughout the state. Activities such as the consumption of beer, wine, and prepared food items were not identified at the 2004 hearing, nor approved by the commission. The Declaration of Restrictive Covenant proffered by the applicant and his agent strictly specifies that only offloading activities shall occur at the facility. Therefore, staff recommends that the commission determine that such consumption activities are not allowed per the commission's past authorization, and that all materials utilized in the restaurant-type service be permanently removed from the portion of the enclosed wharf out over state-owned submerged land. Staff further recommends that the commission order all food and beverage-type services in the enclosed wharf to cease permanently. Should the commission somehow determine that the owners could submit a future application to change the use of the commercial facility and wharf, we recommend that the commission require such an application to include formal approvals from the City of Virginia Beach and the local health department, and a legally modified and/or withdrawn restrictive covenant. Regarding the recent installation of the enclosures, if the owners choose to submit an after-the-fact application to retain such structures, they should do so within the next 30 days. Staff would then subject such a request to a full public interest review and bring the after-the-fact application back to the commission for consideration. That ends the presentation, and I'm available for questions.
Questions of Mr. Worrell? Mr. Tankard?
Mr. Worrell, let me ask you, is food being prepared here?
In my opinion, yes. Based on the different discussions with Mr. and Mrs. Hyonis and the health department per their site visit, the amount of food or the types of food, whether it's actually fried or steamed, I don't think it's appropriate that I get into the details of that activity. But unless you want to go back and look on the specific menu on the wall, it appears that food items are prepared, and the market does prepare seafood in steaming and it's a wholesale retail market, so it prepares seafood for sale, but it also, to my understanding, will prepare seafood for consumption.
I think the fairness aspect would say being offered for sale is accurate.
Okay.
I think a menu board displayed out there is an offer for sale.
I have one follow-up question.
Mr. Tankard.
The other part that I'm a little bit confused on, and it's this wholesale retail fish market phenomenon. In the covenant, they say wholesale, but then I see in some of our literature that it says wholesale retail. Why am I seeing one and then the other? What's going on there?
I wish I could answer that question. That was before my time in Virginia Beach, but apparently I've noticed that as well. But apparently the permit language included wholesale retail. However, some of the other documents didn't include the retail portion. I don't think, at least for our involvement at this time, that's not a question for staff. in terms of the ongoing issues here.
That's not a question. Okay, can follow up on that?
Yes, sir, Mr. Tanker.
So what you're saying is that we're saying that it is both wholesale and retail. That's pretty much what we have here.
Yeah, if I could elaborate, in staff's opinion, we don't feel retail is in any way associated with acting as a restaurant.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Purchase to go.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you. Just a follow-up question. You've laid out staff recommendations here in your final paragraph, and I just want to make sure I understand the range of possibilities. You've mentioned before that they don't have city approval for certain aspects of the operation as it is now. So there would be steps that would have to be undertaken by the applicant with the city in order to secure approval, I guess, the Department of Health, among others. I know that they do have an ABC license, I guess, for the facility, but there would have to be other approvals at the municipal level that would have to occur. Hypothetically, if we were open to a type of outcome that allowed for any modification of the existing VMRC permit, given that this is set up as a notice to comply or compliance hearing, what would have to happen in order for that type of outcome? Would we have to suspend a finding relative to the notice to comply?
Well, I can try and answer that. I think maybe council may be able to address the issue of the restrictive covenant. We're not clear legally what can be done to the restrictive covenant, whether it can be legally modified or amended or withdrawn. That was required with the approval in 2004, and it's fairly specific. From the grantors to us as the grantees. In terms of a new application, if we were to receive a new application from a property owner or a restaurateur, we would require local approval, health department approval, before we brought such an application to the commission with a recommendation.
Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Robbins.
To follow up, though, would we have to still make a finding today relative to the notice to comply? Or could that be deferred pending some new application relative to these other considerations?
Council? Well, I think the only question before the commission today is whether the physical encroachments as they appear are consistent with what was contemplated back in 2004.
Okay, and right. And to follow up then, if we were to find that they were not, we could make that finding, but then potentially be open to would the applicant still have the ability to file an application to modify the use of the facility?
I think that's up to the commission based on the actual language that's in the permit, but also in the restrictive covenant. It gets back to the legalities of the covenant. And
well, I believe the applicant, or Mr. Hines, could file a new application for a modified encroachment. I mean, I think we're not here to regulate the use necessarily, but certain uses necessitate different encroachments. If the commission found that the current encroachments were not consistent with what we contemplated back in 2001, the applicant could come forward, file an amended or a new application, and then it would supersede the old permit, and the restrictive covenant could be modified with the agreement of both.
Okay, and again, I look forward to hearing the rest of the case, but I just wanted to try to have an understanding of what the range of possibilities were, since this is a notice to comply and not an application per se. So.
Further questions? Mr. Schick.
Would we be required to, if we find that the use is not in compliance with the 2004 permit, are we compelled to have him remove all of the restaurant equipment? Or is that a decision up to the board, the commission?
Again, we're not necessarily talking about use. We're talking about physical encroachments over state and bottom land. If there are physical encroachments that the commission does not feel are consistent with the 2004 permit, then they could require removal of those encroachments.
Okay. Further questions? Thank you, Justin. Mr. Schmidt? Still good morning, sir.
Thank you, Commissioner Bowman. Thank you, members of the commission. First off, I'd like to thank staff. They've been wonderful helping us get to where we are today. And I would note, I think that Mr. Tankard's confusion about the language between the proffer, the restrictive covenant, and the permit are critical to this analysis. But I wanted to address one issue brought up. I hope I'm going in the right direction. There we go. This area right here where the restaurant, this restaurant, the boat ramp, and where the seafood market is located is owned by the Hyonises, and this is where they operate the Bubba's restaurant. This site over here is leased by them. They do operate the Lynn Haven Fishing Company in this particular area. Back in 2004, when this permit was heard, part of the reason to move the bait and tackle shop that had been here for a number of years was because you cannot get an 18-wheeler to be able to ingress and egress out of this area without being able to encroach onto this land. That's why they have leased it, but they do not own that at the current time. Going back to what I think is the most important part of this is if we could go back and take a look at the restrictive covenant. Justin even read this quite aloud. The grantors acknowledge that any nonconforming use without obtaining specific approval, therefore, from the VMRC is subject to civil and criminal enforcement provisions of the code. We certainly disagree with staff's interpretation of what the permit says, and I hope that the commission can, if you go through this with me, can start to understand where we are coming from and why we were under the impression that what we were doing complied with the permit. Let's go back to the timeline. This matter was heard in February of 2004. There was a proffer made at that time, a proffer that can be accepted, rejected. We offer that in hopes that we can get the project approved by the commission. 8 months later, in October, the restrictive covenant is signed, containing the language I just quoted about you can do nothing without specific prior approval from the VMRC. 2 months later, we get the permit. This is the final permit, and if I can read from this, your permit is to build a proposed wholesale slash retail fish market and commercial seafood unloading dock at your existing restaurant and marina facility. You're reminded that any deviation from the permit or attached drawings requires prior authorization from the Marine Resources Commission. My client signs all of this, and it says, if you want to do anything besides what's written on this restrictive covenant, you have to have prior specific approval. Then they get, 2 months later, they get this thing, you can operate a wholesale retail seafood market. Now, this is always somewhat problematic. The term seafood market is not a defined term, neither is restaurant. We would note we don't believe we're operating a restaurant. We don't have a grill. We don't have a vent hood. We don't have deep fat fryers or any of that stuff. The things that were being consumed on the back porch are the things that you can purchase at the seafood market. And, in fact, you can see right here, it says Shellfish Company. Some of these. There's another one. Yeah, I'm going to go back to the.
I think the ABC regulations.
You can't really see them, but
the restaurant concept, no selling of food. The seating of food. I'm sure that there's a definition of restaurant in the city of Virginia Beach.
Thank you.
Why ain't Virginia Beach done something?
I think some of these pictures might help. You can see it says Shellfish Company Fresh Seafood Market. Well, I guess that's about as good as it's going to focus. I'm going to stop touching. Some of the signs say, though, wines, gifts, catering, food to go, fresh fish, crabs, clams, oysters. These are all the types of things that the watermen bring here that are unloaded and then are sold in the market. Even the door hanging above the back cafe says seafood market. This is what it looks like inside. You can see that we are selling all kinds of fresh seafood. There are some prepared things such as crab dip, tuna dip and those sorts of things. There are to-go plates, prepared shrimp and clams, those types of things that are being offered for sale. If you take a wider view, and I apologize again slightly for the quality picture, but over here you can see they are still selling fish and tackle. There's a site where they're rewinding fishing reels. They also have a large selection of Virginia wines and drinks that are being sold to both the seafood customers and the few remaining patrons that they have utilizing the boat ramp. Out back, and I want to make sure that the commission understands that this indeed is being used as an operating boat or as a operating unloading platform. This is a picture of what that looks like. The deck that we cited or that we originally asked for from the VMRC was significantly larger. Staff reduced it in size. We agreed to that so that we could get our permit through. We were somewhat reluctant, and the reason was because to operate an unloading, offloading operation efficiently, we use a mechanical conveyor belt. You dump the fish onto the belt, it transfers it over the side up to where it can be sorted and processed. We found out that the deck that we were permitted to build was too small to allow the use of that mechanical conveyor belt. It's also too small to utilize, say, a forklift. And so we're down to having to manually lift these things over the side of the boat in baskets. These baskets can weigh upwards of 70 pounds. This has become a huge problem because workers' compensation coverage for this type of activity is extremely expensive. It becomes much more difficult and a much more dangerous task when undertaken in this particular manner. Additionally, 75-pound baskets of fish, that's extremely difficult, heavy manual labor, and to try and find employees who are willing to put up with those kinds of working conditions has proven to be a big challenge. So with that being said, the deck was sort of a logical extension of the seafood market. What would happen is customers would come by the seafood market, and they'd naturally wander out back to the unloading station to enjoy the view, to finish their drink, to maybe start snacking on some of the food that they just purchased inside. Well, that became a huge part of the attraction of the seafood market. People were coming there just to enjoy that back porch. And so we thought of this as really a very logical and organic outgrowth of the seafood market. I know that this isn't necessarily binding, but I'd like to pass up, we just Googled seafood market, and this is the definition that we came up with. Seafood market. A fish market is a marketplace used for marketing fish products. It can be dedicated to wholesale trade between fishermen and fish merchants, or to the sale of seafood to individual consumers, or to both. Retail fish markets, a type of wet market, often sell street food as well. We think that's exactly what we were doing here. We were offering steamed clams, steamed crabs by the bushel. The people would naturally want to enjoy them while they're at the seafood market, and that's what started happening out there. The reason that this became such a major part of what we were doing out there is because we have to look at, and I think we need to go back, but we need to take a look right here. The Hyonises operate a number of businesses all co-located at this location. Oh, I'm sorry. Technology is... The Hyonises operate a number of businesses all co-located at the Shore Drive site. They operate the Bubba's Restaurant. They operate a boat ramp. They operate the seafood market and then the Lynn Haven Fishing Company, among others. There's also a fuel dock that we've already talked about. Now, back when they applied for the permit, if you look at the proffer, They talked about the use of the boat ramp dropping by 93%. The reason that is because this site, for those who know it, is almost adjacent to the Lynn Haven Inlet. And so it's a very great place to put your boat in the water and head straight out to the fishing grounds. The problem is that right across the inlet, the City of Virginia Beach constructed the Lynn Haven boat ramp and beach area. And all of a sudden, all of that boat ramp traffic evaporated. That facility is a wonderful new facility that was constructed with state funds, and it completely decimated Mr. Hyonis's boat ramp traffic. That is a huge issue because that was a huge driving force for all of his other businesses. The Bubba's Restaurant, people would park, bring their boats in and out, stop off and get some food at the restaurant. They could walk over to the bait and tackle shop and they could buy all of their needs right there. They would go to his fuel pumps. All of this stuff was a sort of organic business approach located at a very visible spot in the City of Virginia Beach, driving all of this business. And the heart and soul of that, for a long time, was the boat ramp. When the boat ramp disappeared, he was down to just a handful of people using that. At the peak of his employment, he had 130 employees at this site. In 2004, he was down to 55. Since then, we've been able to build some of that traffic back up because of the attraction of the seafood market. We're up to 120 employees, but that could change dramatically simply because the seafood market is profitable solely because of the seasonal summertime usage of that back porch. That becomes a huge driver of business. We're talking about a use that happens primarily Friday, Saturday, Sunday evenings. We're talking only in the summer months. It's got to be 70 degrees and sunny or nobody wants to be on the water. This time of year right now, I would dare say you couldn't find anybody who would want to spend their time out there right now. But there's a couple of other issues that are starting to drive this economic factor. I want to go back to the use as a commercial fishing, unloading and loading platform. Mr. Jones is before you before with his pound nets. We had some problems with the pound net licensing. There have been some new regulations that have been in place. There's been some controversy as to exactly how the nets are supposed to be constructed where Mr. Hyonis's nets are located. Conversely, the catch on his pound nets is down 80%. The Lynn Haven Inlet used to be a very good place for commercial fishermen to operate in and out of. We're down to 3 working boats operating out of the inlet nowadays. So what we were hoping was going to be a thriving commercial fishing operation has now dropped dramatically as a result of the fisheries and the price of doing business in the Lynn Haven Inlet. So with that attendant decrease, that also starts to depress the revenues coming from the seafood market. We've been in a bad economy for the last 3 years. That has not helped. And if we are not allowed to operate this back deck, the seafood market becomes a loss. The seafood market will close. The seafood market currently employs 20 employees. Those people will be without jobs immediately. We don't know what the ultimate effect will be because we have, like I said, the back porch has been a very popular location for people to come and congregate and enjoy the natural beauty of the bay. So if we lose some of the traffic coming to the seafood market to enjoy that aspect of the business, that's probably going to have a knock-on effect to traffic going to the restaurant. It was nice because if people were waiting to get a table at the restaurant, they could wander over to the back porch and wait for a couple of minutes before a table opened up on the restaurant. I've heard a couple of comments made about the city. The city is aware of our operation. We have spoken with a number of the city entities. The city has asked us to install things such as a handicap accessible ramp. They've asked us to install a lift. We've spoken with the Virginia ABC because we were already selling beer and wine out of this location, but we were granted an additional room status for the back porch. So the Commonwealth is well aware of what's been going on back here. The City of Virginia Beach is well aware of what's been going on back here. And I would note for the record that this is a very visible location. This is one of the major traffic areas of the entire city. Everybody drives by it. This has not been some sort of covert operation. This has been open for everybody to see, and we've operated that way since the beginning.
Mr. Schmidt, from a lawful perspective, at the present time, are the appropriate city licenses in place that allows the lawful operation of this facility under the current use that is being exercised?
We think so, absolutely, because originally, as a market, it was regulated by the Department of Agriculture. Since they've received the notice to comply from your staff, the city has said, well, we're going to take a look at it and see what it needs if we are to regulate you as a restaurant. They've suggested a couple of improvements to be made, and we are more than willing to go forward on them, pending on what happens here. I mean, because if like I said, if the decision is that this use is going to be curtailed, the seafood market is more than likely going to be out of business, and it's not going to matter anymore.
Thank you.
And I would like to go back. This is one of the few eight places in the Lynn Haven Bay that you can still enjoy the natural beauty. I'm reminded a little bit of the Harrison's fishing pier case. People are able to go back here. Almost everything in the surrounding area has been completely developed. And like I said, this is one of the few areas where the people can come by, enjoy the beauty, enjoy a little bit of the local seafood, support a few local businesses, and then go on their merry way. Without this, and I would point out that this use is also in keeping with the structures and the uses around it. I think staff correctly noted the Lessner Inn is off to one side, Bubba's Restaurant, and then you've got the dock side. And if you go further down the waterway, we get to Chick's Marina Oyster Bar. If there is a place where one is going to have these types of amenities on the water, we're certainly in that neck of the woods. Also, we have tourists. It's a tourist area. Tourist trade drives a lot of the local economy. That's why the summertime trade is so big to us. Those tourists can come out here and they enjoy watching one of the last few places where you can still see commercial fishermen unload their catch. We think that that's a huge attraction to our customer base, and that's one of the reasons it makes us so successful. And like I said, with all of that, when I go back and I take a look at what is said in the letter of the permit where it says do nothing unless you have specific prior approval from the VMRC, and in that permit it says that you can operate a retail seafood market, we thought of this as a natural extension of that seafood market concept. This was a matter of economic survival in a down market in a place where the fisheries and the amount of commercial seafood being unloaded is collapsing. This is our way of keeping our business above the water, if you will. We also feel that we are in substantial compliance with 28.2-1205. As I'm sure you know, water dependency is not an enumerated factor, and in fact the Harrison's Fishing Pier case stands for that proposition. But you are allowed other and reasonable, permissible uses of the state-owned bottomland. Like I said, this is completely in keeping with the types of businesses that are occurring around it. It is similar to adjacent nearby properties. And we don't believe that a few people drinking a glass of wine on the back deck poses a danger to water quality or submerged aquatic vegetation. For those reasons, we think that we're in compliance with the permit. I certainly understand the staff does not. And if staff wishes us to bring this before you in the form of an after-the-fact permit, we are certainly willing to do that. But we would ask that you give consideration to this, because this is an economic lifeline that we need, frankly, to stay in business.
Questions of Mr. Smith? Mr. Schick?
Yeah, I noticed that you brought in the definition of seafood market on Google. I also Googled the definition of a restaurant. And that's the definition of a restaurant, what we saw there. What is the definition of seafood market or definition of a restaurant by Virginia Beach zoning laws?
I do not remember the exact phrasing for Virginia Beach, what the zoning code calls a restaurant, but I would submit that the seafood market has been operating, serving steamed crabs and clams from the beginning, and nobody has, and we've been inspected by everybody from the city, and nobody's ever said that that was a problem. I mean, we don't have a full-blown kitchen.
So you don't have the definition of a restaurant?
I do not have it in front of me. I'm sorry, sir.
Further questions?
I'm sorry, I had one other slide I wanted to show.
All right. Are you going to, Mr. Smith, is Mr. Hyannis going to speak as well?
Give me 1 second.
And also, also want to show you, this is a picture of that back area. This is taken at low tide. And this is where we're tying up. And you can see the boat. You can see where we currently are with stormwater that's been pouring more and more sediment into the side. And you can see where it is. You can see where it becomes more and more difficult to continue to use this as a seafood unloading, offloading facility when you're doing sort of the manual transfer of buckets over the side. All right, I'm sorry. That was
awesome. Yeah, I have one question.
Mr. Tankard.
The doors and the you can keep that picture up if you'd like, just so I guess I have to understand this. As you mentioned, some of the logistics of the seafood moving from a boat to the deck. What happens now if seafood's going to be offloaded? Pardon me?
All this is removable. The doors go up, and you can load right over the side.
And removable in the sense that it's easily done, or is it something that takes a long process?
All this stuff is very movable. I mean, the tables and chairs, you just push off to the side, and then the railing comes out, and you're right back to its original spot. The garage doors go up. And we can close them on the sides in case of inclement weather, so it's easier and more comfortable to do the unloading and offloading, but that's exactly how it would happen.
Follow-up question.
Follow-up.
The picture that you have here in front of us now, are the doors in operation now, or that's not?
That picture may have been taken before the doors are installed, but the doors, they're very wide. They're 16 feet wide panel doors that slide all the way up. The tracks that they're in run along the support columns. For the roof awning, so the doesn't impair any use of it. That was it operates unimpaired from the way it was constructed back in 2004.
Further questions? You got Mr. Hyonis to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Hyonis.
Yes. Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, sir. Help you God.
Yes, sir.
May proceed, please.
You asked a question earlier, which I wasn't sure if I understand the answer properly. If we have the permits legally to operate, and we do have every permit that Mr. Justin mentioned, that I don't have any permits. I have every permit, and I think I have it with me, from the liquor, from the health department, and from the city of Virginia Beach. If I was operating that facility without permits, it would not be more than 24 hours I would be shut down from the city of Virginia Beach. They have inspectors through my place more than 10 times in a day. You can see them go up and down. And I have every permit, and I even have a handicap lift. The city told me that if you will operate that, you have to have a handicap lift. And I got that too. So I got every permit. The signs on the door, it's very clear. I noticed that selectively,
Mr. Burrell,
he saw the sign, restaurant, that you mentioned there. What kind of is the restaurant definition? I've been in restaurant business all my life. I've been washing dishes since 12 years of age. And I've been cook, and I've been owner of a restaurant. Restaurant is something that it has a hood, it has a kitchen. I don't have any kitchen. I have a little steamer in the restaurant, in a microwave in a restaurant, in a marina, that it has a steamer that you can come and ask for half a pound of shrimp, a pound of shrimp, crabs, crab legs, anything. Before it used to give up to go. After that, everybody, what he did, he take the crab legs, he take the shrimp, and he went outside, or unloading the fish, watching the fish, the fish to be unloaded. And we thought it was they taking advantage of the place. In other words, we can sell them ourselves for a dollar or two more. That's what we got.
Mr. Schmidt, in all due respect, let me tell you what I think we've got here. Let's go back to 2004 when the commission heard the case, and Mr. Hyonis and Mr. Langley proffered to the commission that the project is obviously water dependent, minimally necessary to store pallets, nets, pots, barrels, crates, boxes, conveyor belts, nets, lift trucks, carts, etc. That's not what it's being used for. only to be used for unloading seafood processing and a wholesale seafood market. Now, we have the definition of seafood market, but it's not wholesale seafood market. It is what it is. And I think, in all due respect, you go back to the declarations, and I know where you're latching on to the permit where it says wholesale retail market. And you've done a good job forwarding that discussion. But the restrictive covenants are pretty straightforward as far as commercial fish and seafood offloading and processing. That's it. That's all it says. Now, the question, I think, is instead of us trying to make something that it is or is not, I think that staff is as accurately brought to the commission a violation of what the initial intent was. The question I think that's before the commission now, and I'm still concerned, quite honestly, the permit aspect of it. You know, y'all do have an ABC license, but I think when ABC issues licenses, they probably issue them in good faith, depending upon what is applied for and what is the stated lawful use of the specific location. So what I'm saying is the fact that there's an ABC license in place doesn't give credence to the fact that this is authorized activity, in my humble opinion. But the question remains, where do we go from here? Obviously, you know, as I sit here, no, it's certainly, I cannot acquiesce that what is there was the intent of the permit that was issued in 2004. I don't think that does justice to the permit process. I don't think it's in any way close. But then again, it appears to me to be a nice place of business. And by all indications from you, an economic driver that's providing jobs to people, an opportunity for them to go where they're going, to have fun, to enjoy food. But then again, the question is, do we authorize the migration of what the initial intent was to where it's become now without the authorization of the commission in the Commonwealth of Virginia? So I think we've got a number of different hurdles, as well as I'm still concerned as far as the city's authorization as to what they perceive this animal to be and what it's being regulated as. So I don't think there's any doubt that what is there now is what was intended. But then on the other side of the coin, from a personal perspective, I'm not one of those ones that says, okay, you know, people make mistakes without doing the right thing. Mr. Hyones has been in business a long time, and he's been before this commission a long time. I don't know how much benefit of the doubt he gets versus someone that's never been before us before. But I can see what's going on and what's happened. So with that, that's just my rambling thoughts on exactly where we are, what has gone on, what has transpired. But the main question I think we have before the commission is today is where we need, or you need, or Mr. Hyones wants to go, if it's possible, to get this matter straightened out. Well, as honestly as I possibly can be.
I understand, Commissioner Bowman, and we are more than happy to apply for an after-fact. If that would be the commission's desire, we would ask that if we could be granted a stay of the notice to comply until such time as we can have the after-the-fact heard, I think that we can get you a very good package and answer all of your questions.
I'll leave that up to the commission. I'm only but one vote. I'm the chair, and I can't make a motion.
Well, I would certainly suggest that to the entire board, and I'd ask for your lenience in that regard.
Mr. Tank?
You know, I your reasoning seems logical to me. When we look at the evidence presented and in our packet, it seems as though the restrictive covenant, it was made such that it was for wholesale offloading and unloading of seafood. We have a restaurant that is an economic engine in the city of Virginia Beach, and that's a positive thing. So I think when we look at this, we have to say to ourselves, perhaps this isn't the original intent, and we need to go for an after-the-fact as a result. So I would make that motion.
I'd like to.
Before we move, Ed, would you allow?
Yes. No. Excuse me.
I got Mr. Schick, then I have Mr. Robbins.
Yeah. Are we Are we still asking questions?
We're asking questions. We're discussing. We're doing. We're still in the mode of the matters before the commission for discussion action. You can ask questions.
I don't know about Virginia Beach regulations, and I don't know how much it's really germane to the question of exactly what they're doing here. But I do know from my restaurant experience that you don't need a hood to be a restaurant. You know, my first restaurant had 3 microwaves in it. And guess what? Little town of Colonial Beach required me to have an occupancy permit as a restaurant. It was defined in the code as a restaurant, and I got a permit for a restaurant. I understand how the evolution of this occurred, and I'm not saying it's good or bad at this point because that's not before us. But this is not the intended use. And I think that use should cease and desist until such time that this board approves this use or has the opportunity to approve this use. And that's my opinion.
Very much valued.
Yeah.
Mr. Robbins and Mr. Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just looking through the evidence in our packet and listening to the testimony, I would concur that this is, in fact, a departure from what was originally considered and proffered and described in the Langley and McDonald letter, et cetera. I mean, I think the letter that was submitted in 2004 said there would not be any retail sales at the site, et cetera. So this is clearly a departure from that original intent, I believe. Having said that, it's also very clear that the economics at the site and the conditions have changed quite a bit. The boat ramp business has changed. The Duck Inn used to be across the street, and all that business has gone away. So, it's clear that the situation has changed. Sometimes when we see these projects where there's been an evolution in the use of them, there's been additional unauthorized encroachment. Here, the encroachment is within what was authorized, but the use of it has changed somewhat. And sometimes there will be a public detriment associated with that change in use. But this is somewhat unique in that this is one of the few locations in the state where the public has an opportunity to interact with the commercial fishing industry. The operation that's unloading is immediately adjacent to this primarily, but it puts the commercial fishermen in direct contact with the public. And there aren't a lot of opportunities like that around the state for tourists or citizens to interact with commercial fishermen. So, if anything, I think that's one of the benefits of the activity in close proximity to the commercial fishermen. Having said that, I think it is a departure from the original intended use. I would be supportive of a finding to that effect if that's necessary. But I think we should leave open the possibility of at least hearing an after the fact application. Let that application stand on its own 2 feet. We can hear the merits of it, but I think we ought to provide an opportunity for that to come forward. So I think if we're going to have a finding that this is not a compliant use with the permit, and we were to order ceasing and desisting, we provide an appropriate time lag for that, an appropriate delay, so that we have an opportunity as a commission to let the applicant come forward with that application, give it a hearing, and then make a final determination.
Mr. Lane?
I don't think there's any question that Mr. Hounds is there in violation of both the intent and the letter of the 2004 permit. In my mind, it's not a closed question. And it really doesn't matter whether or not Virginia Beach knows what's going on or condones what's going on. It's a matter of the permit that was issued by VMRC in 2004. If Mr. Hounders is inclined to apply for an after-the-fact permit, then that's something certainly we should consider. But the facts before us now are clearly not in compliance with what we agreed to in 2004, what Mr. Hounders agreed to, both in the verbally and in the document recorded in the Virginia Beach Circuit Court.
If I might respond to Mr. Lane's point. Mr. Lane, the reason we engaged in that conversation is an issue was brought up by staff. We wanted to make sure that the board knew that we were not hiding this. This was not done in the dead of night. This was always operated completely out in the open, and we just wanted to make sure that the commission understood that.
Mr. Holland?
I agree with Mr. Robbins. I think they do need to get an after-the-fact permit, and we'll grant them the time to do that. And I, for one, would like to go to the facility and look at it myself.
You need that. My only concern, well, the question then, I think that the after-the-fact issue is going to be resolved, that the commission will authorize an after-the-fact application. The question I still have in my heart of hearts is, are we providing a benefit to someone who is clearly in violation of the permit by allowing the activity, which I still, once again, am not convinced is fully authorized by the oversight agencies, while we consider the after the fact? I have no idea. Tony, how long would after the fact take to process?
I mean, typically, you know, projects take 60, 90 days to get to the process. We have no objections and no mitigating circumstances. If, on the other hand, there are city issues that have to be resolved before it can get to the commission, I mean, you're talking several months before.
That involves public interest review, posting of notices, and things like that. It's not just like staff dragging their feet
for
60 days.
It's not like going in and getting a building permit because you complied with the building code requirements. We have to go through that entire public interest review, and that takes some time. And so I think one thing that I would like to suggest that the commission think about or consider as they deliberate here is if you do want to go the after-the-fact route and allow Mr. Hounis to submit an after-the-fact application, that you decide whether or not he can continue to operate at the facility now, subject to any authority that might be required by the City of Virginia Beach.
That's my
recognizing that if we allowed him to continue while we debated the after-the-fact application, reviewed that would not give him the authority to be there regardless of what the city might have to say about the project or what their oversight and requirements might be. So, and I say that because, you know, we're here in the spring. I know Mr. Hounis probably wants to continue to use this, and I think the commission needs to decide whether, in the nature of this case, he can be allowed to continue it while the after-the-fact under review, or whether he needs to not use it at all, remove the materials that weren't authorized in the permit, and wait for the whole process to play itself out. And I just think that's an issue that's before the commission.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Watkinson. Matters before the commission. No, sir. Matters before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Based on what Tony just said, I would be inclined to make a finding that the current use is inconsistent with the original use authorized in the permit, and require that the applicant remove the materials that are not related to seafood offloading. However, that order to remove those items be delayed by 6 months, pending the receipt within 30 days of an after-the-fact application to the commission. And I think during that 30-day period, we'd also need to see evidence that that the applicant was making the appropriate application for permits with the City of Virginia Beach.
Is there a second to the motion?
A second.
Mr. Holland, further discussion on the motion?
Mr.
Schick.
I'd like to ask the maker of the motion to define or to require a complete application.
A complete after-the-fact application.
Application deemed by staff. So in 30 days, we don't get, you know, a hollow.
Mr. Smith, can you assure us that we'll be getting a complete application?
Yes, sir.
Commissioner, I have one question.
Mr. Justin.
I have no doubts that a complete application can be prepared. In terms of a complete application being prepared for the city, does that mean city approval included? Does that just mean hey, we applied with the city's zoning and planning review process?
I don't think it's, you know, it's certainly not within our jurisdiction or purview to require city approval within 30 days, I don't think. I mean,
okay,
we can't,
no,
you know, so
I'm asking what
I think evidence of application within 30 days to the appropriate city authority.
Take all steps necessary.
Right, at the city level.
Any and all approvals
and,
at the city.
And so evidence of that that's transmitted to our staff together with a after-the-fact application that's completed.
Kyle, does that satisfy
yes.
you?
I just want to, for clarification, I think I understand, but given the history here and concerns and issues, I think it's worth making sure we get straight. Mr. Robbins said delay for 6 months pending receipt of the ATF after the fact application, which would come in 30 days. So you're assuming then that we would initiate our review after it begins, and that we could complete our review within that 60 or 6 month time frame, which seems reasonable. But that I'm assuming that what, by you saying that delay the removal for that 6 month period, that it means they could continue to use that facility during that 6 months.
That's my intent.
As long as the city doesn't shut him down or the ABC doesn't shut him down.
And
if anybody else comes in,
right.
I would think that absolutely. That would be that'd be sufficient.
Right. And further clarification, if I may, that
yes,
if
may.
For some reason not dealing with VMRC, that this gets delayed, you know, in some city permitting situation, that 6 months it is final. There's no extension to that because of extenuating circumstances. We may be ready to go, but somebody else might not be. And I don't want
6 months. That'll be plenty of time to get this cleared
right.
out.
Absolutely.
Further discussion. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? No. Motion carries. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.